Yes, sir. Czech, in Serbia, the Arabic surrounding. So we entered yesterday. So welcome. We'd like to welcome you all. Praise the Lord, Pastor Al from Paloma Church, Pastor Ian Trinidad from Payanas, then Pastor Fernand Gambino from Lumalinsis, Pastor James all the way from the north, Malasiki, Pangasinan. Praise the Lord. It's 3 hours, 4 hours struggle from Pangatesto to each of our names. Lord bless Pastor James, then Pastor Ernest, then son of Pastor Mateo, Pastor J.R. from Montalban, then Pastor Roger De La Cruz from Novalinsis, and Pastor Jacob is coming because he said that his car is something wrong with him, with his car, so he tried to fix it up. Then he's still coming. Then Brother Oscar from Bulacan also is coming. And then Pastor George, Pastor Daniel Carrado. Praise God. I hope some of the ministers will come. Well, I invite the brothers from the other group, but we have also fellowship today. So hopefully by this Saturday, they'll try to, I think the brothers try to be here and join us. Our lunch fellowship this coming Saturday. And Brother David, Ariel, Marmulkan from Abidin too. So hopefully that this trip of Brother Nate will be a blessing. Amen. Abidin's church, I preach to his church. Brother knows me very well, and I know him very well, his family, and the people around, and I know how feel warm, really love the word. And even I know all of us love the word. So this morning, Brother Father Adun, I would like to call our brother. Brother Don, you want to say something?
Sure.
If I call Brother Nate, God bless you, Brother Don.
Amen. The Lord. God bless everyone this morning.
Amen. Amen.
It's a pleasure and an honor to be here in the Philippines. You know, the Bible says that how will he know that you're his disciple? That you have love one to another? Brother June has manifested that love to us, and I look forward to the fellowship with each of you brothers to share the word. You know, I'll let Brother Moore have the greetings from Fairborn, but greetings from Ohio.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother June.
To preach the congregation. This is all preachers and pastors, so it's good to have like this. Yeah. Because if all of us can grasp everything that you have, then down to the congregation. So God bless you, Pastor Nate.
Amen.
I bless my brother and friend.
Amen.
God bless you.
Yes. Amen. Turn that on. Okay. Yeah. Should I go up there? You want me down here? Where you want me?
It's up to you. Wherever you want to stand, or
I'll start up there.
Okay.
God bless you.
Amen.
I bring you greetings from Fairborn Community Temple. And I don't know, you got two places to stand, so I don't know which one would be best. I'll start here. I might end up there.
Feel free, brother.
Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to be able to come and share my knowledge of the mystery. I always tell people when I go places, and I've said this for years, that I'm not coming to convert you. I'm not coming to save you. I'm not coming to try to change your doctrine, try to fix you, try to make you better, to make you more like me. I'm here to just share what God has shown me. And I think that's part of the problem that we have in this message. And it's good that we got all preachers here this morning, because it's a good time for us to just talk. And I feel like in this message, I was thinking about it this morning, I was thinking that we do a lot of things to split apart versus do a lot of things to get together. And all we do is break off, and split. And we split over hairs, and we split over doctrine, and we split over everything under the sun. And, you know, that wasn't the way Brother Branham wanted this to work out. He wanted us to draw the circle bigger. And, you know, we been so busy fighting over the years that we have forgotten what the real purpose of this message coming to do. It's come to bring us together, to make us one. And with what we've seen over the last 60 years, it's just splinter after splinter of churches breaking off. And the thing that I want to get back to in my own ministry, in my own walk, is that Brother Branham said that the real evidence of the new birth is recognizing your day and its message. And I want to start there, because that's about as basic as you can get it. If you can recognize your day and its message, then that's the new birth. Well, we make that everything under the sun. We make it doctrine, we make it fellowships, we make it friends, and we make it people who know us and people who want to fellowship with us. But I don't come here just because I want to come around people who believe what I believe. And that's what we've done in this message. And you ministers know that. We've splintered off and separated over doctrines that don't even matter. I mean, we'll break off on anything, and then we'll get our little groups, and we get our little cliques, and then you get, when you get ready to try to fellowship, you end up fellowship with people that are just like you, and you can't help each other if everybody's just alike. You know, if everybody believes exactly the same thing, then why preach to each other? Because there's no growth. But Brother Branham came, and when I thought about him the other day, I thought Brother Branham, when he came and preached to Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, all walks of life, Church of Christ, anybody who would open the door and let him in, he would go in. And he didn't worry about whether they believed him or not. He just would go in because it was an open door and an opportunity for him to preach the word of God. And I feel the same way. People would tell me, well, you can't go to this church. You can't go to that church. You can't visit this brother. You can't visit that brother because they believe this or they believe that. And I don't care what you believe. You can't even change your belief until you hear the word preached. Right. Amen. So if you block people out from you just because they don't believe like you, and we ministers have been really bad about that. We'll fuss and fight and argue and separate, and you don't really get to express the love of Christ because you're too busy fighting. And that's what I've seen in this message, and I don't want to do that. I'm not here to do that. I'm not here to only, I don't know what you brothers believe, and it really doesn't matter, because I'm not here to preach what brothers believe. I'm here to preach what the Word of God is, and then let the Word of God do what it is, because He's the only revealer of the Word anyway.
Amen.
You know, we spend so much time trying to reveal it to each other. You can't give me a revelation. And I can't give you a revelation. And I can bang you over the head with the Godhead. I can bang you over the head with the one coming of the Spirit. I can bang you over the head with name it, any doctrine that we have in this message. But unless God reveals it to you, you're
Amen.
Never going to get it.
Amen.
So we spend too much time fighting and fussing over what we don't even agree on, instead of rallying around the fact that God brought us a message. And that message
Amen.
Is what's going to fix any problems that we have. So I encourage all of us brothers, not just me, but you too, that when you're going out, don't just spend time with everybody that believes what you believe. Go out and preach the gospel and preach the word and let God have, because, you know, all you can do is put it out there. All you can do is preach. We as ministers, all we do is preach.
Amen.
We don't give a revelation. And you know what? You don't even preach it good enough that somebody's going to get it. You say, well, I got all the quotes and I've got it all lined up. And if I get the quotes and preach the quotes to you, you're going to get it. No, you're not. If God doesn't give it to you, I don't care how good of a preacher you are, you're not going to get it. So we spend too much time trying to force feed people into something that they don't have control over anyway.
Amen.
So then we end up with bad spirits, and we end up fighting each other and blocking people out. And you know how it is. You know, there's churches you can go to and there's churches you can't go because of what you believe or what you don't believe, and on and round we go. But I'm here this week and next week. I'm here to fellowship in the mystery. I'm here to fellowship around the Word of God. And if what I have doesn't help you, that's fine. Don't even worry about it. I won't lose any sleep if you don't take my revelation home with you. I'm not trying to convert you anyway. So I like to say that to ministers, because I'm glad this minister's here, is because that's, we're the ones this needs to go to. Because, you know,
Amen.
Your congregation will only be as good and loving and caring as the ministry is. And Brother Branham said, if you want to see the church, the spirit of the church, look at the pastor. And if you got a church that's fighting and fussing over doctrine, who are you going to blame? It's got to come back to the ministry. So if you got a church that a pastor's loving and he's concerned and he'll try to give anybody a chance to help out, then you watch the congregation, they'll get right behind that, and they'll give people a chance as well. So my advice to the ministry is to, let's let the love of God dictate how the word works, and not be so ready to cut off and just open your heart and your door to anyone who could believe. Because like I said, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is recognizing your day and its message. And we've all done that. That's why we're here. So I don't need to pinpoint what you believe to make sure that you got every T crossed and every I dotted to prove that you got the Holy Ghost. Clear understanding is what the Holy Ghost is here to do, and that comes by God. So as we spend the next few days together in the services, and I pray that what I have here will be edifying to you and help you along the way. And if nothing else, maybe it'll make the picture a little clearer to what God's been doing to the bride in this day. So I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful that Fairborn has allowed me, because it's their money that sends us and their support. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm going to just bring forth a little something this morning that the Lord's laid on my heart. And I don't bring anything really that I haven't even already preached at home, because, you know, I believe that that Fairborn, I can let myself go there and I can preach and don't have to worry about anything. And they believe every bit of this that I'm bringing here to this island this week. So I'm thankful for that. Doug, can you grab that water there? I forgot to bring it with me. I'm really appreciative of Brother June. Thank you opening up the door and allowing us to come and spend a little time together. When he comes to Ohio, he comes by to see me and spend some time with our congregation. Our congregation loves him and glad to be able to come back here to the Philippines again after 10 years of being away. And there's a lot has happened over 10 years, but it's good to be back and good to see you brothers again. And my prayer is that, you know, we edify each other and help each other to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the truth. So that's why I'm here. I'm not here to show that I'm behind Brother June. I'm really not. And June, whether he believes what I preach or not, that's between him and God. I don't have to worry about that. I'm here to share in my knowledge of the mystery. That's what Paul said. That's all you can do, is share your knowledge. And then God has to take it from there, and whether it's going to be something that'll edify the body or not, that'll be God. So I'm here, and I'm glad to be here, and we'll have services today and tomorrow, and I think I'll be back here Sunday, and then we'll go down to Beagle on Monday and Tuesday. So, and I heard that your brothers are probably going to be coming down with us, and that's good, and I'll be glad to have you amongst us, because I think it's an hour that we need to get together and not split apart and separate, but it's an hour that, I mean, we're talking about the rapture. We're talking about the rapture.
Amen.
The very rapture itself is a gathering together.
Amen.
Of the people of God.
Yes.
And if we can't even gather together now and preach to each other, how in the world do you think we're going to get a body change and gather together in the middle of the air?
Amen.
We got to start learning somewhere along the line to get along. I mean, I'm not even saying you got to put up with false doctrine. I'm not saying that. You just speak the truth in love and let the word of God have a chance to work on somebody. But we've got to get together here before we get together there. And I'm not talking about even just buddy-buddy. I'm talking about being to the place where you can invite everybody, could you imagine if you could invite everybody in the city of Manila to one place? All message people, everybody who says that they believe this message, if you can get them all together, you say, well, there's this group, there's that group, there's this group. We don't get along with this one. We don't get along with that one. We can't fellowship with them. Just get them all together and let a man of God come and preach the word of God according to what the prophet brought. That's really what it's all about. All these other cliques and groups and all this sanctions, and that's Satan. He's just a divider. That's all he's trying to do. But if we're going to get together in the air, we're going to have to just start learning how to not be so picky about getting together down here. And not be so quick to fight each other and kick each other out, but realize that, you know what, this is uniting time.
Amen.
Brother Branham said it's uniting time.
Amen.
Not ununiting, not disuniting. It's uniting time where we need to come together. You said, well, you're compromising the word of God. No, I'm not. I believe what God's revealed to me.
Amen.
And if you ask me, I'll tell you. But it doesn't mean you're not my brother and I don't love you and we can't share together and we can't come together and be in the same room. That's, you know, that's simple Christianity. And so I think that we need to do that more. And as I travel and I do get together and I'm getting out more now, I used to work full time, and now that I've quit working full time and now I'm into the ministry full time, I can be free to travel more and to do more things. And I'm not just going to be going to people who can pat me on the back and like me. I'll go to wherever door God opens and preach the word. You know, I had a brother one time say, well, why do you go to this brother's church? He doesn't even believe what you preach. I was thinking, how is he ever going to hear what I preach if I never go there and preach it?
Right.
It's sort of a catch-22. They don't want you to come, but you have to come in order to preach the word of God. So I don't go places because people believe what I preach. I go places because God's opened a door and I'll preach the word of God. And when I finish preaching the word of God, I'll go home whether you believe it or not. I don't care. It's not something I'm here to, I'm not the revealer of the word.
Amen.
I can just put it out there and either you're going to receive it or not. And as a pastor of a church, your job isn't to make sure that the people believe what you preach. Your job is to preach it, put it out there, and then it's between them and God whether they're going to receive it or not. And if they don't receive the word of God, don't feel bad yourself. You know, like God told the prophet, he said, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. And so, you know, your job as a pastor of a church is to preach and put the word out there the best you can with the revelation that you have, and allow the people to give an opportunity to receive the word. That's all that you can do. And when you do that, whether they stay or go, because I have people who come, I have people who've left my church, and I can't feel bad about them leaving because I've given them the only thing I have, and that's the word of God. And a lot of time as a pastor, you feel, and I feel bad because I think, oh, I could have done differently. I could have said this. I could have. But really, no, it's in the hands of God, because you cannot run a believer off. You can't. And but if somebody doesn't believe, you can't even make them believe either. So that's how that works. So as we get into the word this morning, I thank you for this opportunity and pray that God will bless the services for you. And it's interesting that pastors are here, and we'll talk to pastors, because when I talk to pastors, my expectations, they're going to get it and take it back to the people. And that's how that works. So I appreciate it. So let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. So thankful for your word. So thankful to have this opportunity to come and stand before these ministers and the people here. We ask you, Lord, to just move in this service, speak to our hearts, and help us to understand what you're trying to do in the hour that we're living in. Thank you for our host, pastor, and the church that he's opened up, and ask you to bless him and his family. Bless his congregation and be with us throughout these few days. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We laid the word here before the people, Lord. Now I ask you to come and speak to our hearts today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, because I'm going to be preaching for the next few days, I told Brother June that I'm probably not going to be preaching very long. I have a habit of going too long.
Good time, Bert.
And when I go long, I want to be able to make it all the way the next Tuesday. So, but I do want to, maybe I won't hit all the scriptures. I may quote some things and give you, your pastors and preachers, you know the Bible, you know what it is, where it's found. But just for a few minutes this morning, I want to go over to Luke chapter 17. And I want to read a well-known scripture that I'm sure that you've all used before. And Luke 17, and we'll start at verse 22. Amen. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part of the heaven shineth into the other part of the heaven, so and be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they did drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage unto the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the floods came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Noah went out into Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Amen. That is a very, very important scripture. And I wanted to start here. I want to title this message this morning, Living in the Days of the Son of Man. Because it's important to understand the day that we are living in. And Jesus told him, he said, the day shall come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Now, the church world has no clue about the Son of Man. They don't even know about the days of the Son of Man. They don't even know how many days the Son of Man had. And Jesus was telling us here that you're going to desire to see one of those days, and they won't be able to. And you ask yourself, what is the day of the Son of Man? What is the Son of Man? Now, we've been studying this message long enough that we know that there's a Son of Man. And I was thinking this morning, I thought, you have to understand the sonships of God. You have to understand the difference. You got to understand the different forms that God used. You got to understand the different titles that God used. You have to understand all these things, because if you understand these things, you'll understand what God is doing. You can tell God by his title what role he's playing in trying to bring something to the people. Say, for instance, if you use his attributes of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, depending on which attribute he's using, whether he's being the role of the Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost, that'll determine and let you see what God is doing and Amen. What role he's trying to play. And just like the role of a father is not the same as the role of a son. And the role of a son is not the same as the role of a husband. So depending on the day that you're living in and the role that God is playing, if you can find out what God's title is, you can find out what God's doing.
Amen.
Now, when God came as Elohim, the self-existing one, before he was even God, he was self-existing, and he existed, but everything about God was all in him. And I call it God, but it wasn't even God. Before God was God, he was Elohim. So when he was Elohim, that's Brother Branham described that as the self-existing one. And as that self-existing one, you could find out that there were things that he was doing as Elohim that he didn't do any other time. When he was Elohim, he was all-compassed, all-existing, everything was in him. But he wanted to have attributes expressed out through him. So in order for him to have those attributes, and attributes are part of himself that he wanted to use to express himself. Now, when God was, before God was God, and he was Elohim, he wanted to be a God. And in order to be God, he had, Brother Branham said that God is an object of worship. And you couldn't even worship Elohim, but when you got him into the form of God, then you could worship him. God is an object of worship. And so that was an attribute that was in Elohim that God expressed as God. And so he wanted to be a father. And that was another expression in him. And so as being a father, in order to be a father, you have to have a son.
Right.
You have to have an offspring. You have to have something that comes out of you, and that would make you a father.
Right.
So if you want to see God as a father, you had to actually know what he's doing at the time to express that father, because every attribute that was in God, he was going to express.
Amen.
Everything that was in Elohim, he will express. So he wanted to be a father. In order to be a father, he had to have a son. He wanted to be a redeemer. In order to be a redeemer, somebody had to be lost.
Amen.
He wanted to be a savior. In order to be a savior, he had to come and pay a price for something. So see, all these titles that we use throughout the Bible are expressing things that express what God was going to be when he expressed himself in this earth. So now we talked about the Son of Man. Now remember, there's three sonships there. There's Son of Man, Son of God, and Son of David. Son of Man, Son of God, and Son of David. Now here in Luke 17, there was expressing the attribute, because this was what those were. They were attributes of God. All three of those were attributes of God. Some people look at the Godhead and they see three gods out of it. But it's not three gods. Those three attributes that was described here, Son of God, Son of Man, and Son of David, those aren't three gods. It's the same God, but expressed in three different expressions of his attributes. So here Jesus come on the scene, and he says, you're going to want to see one of the days of the Son of Man. And when you talk about the days of the Son of Man, you got to first find out what the Son of Man is. And the Son of Man, it was Son of Man, Son of God, and Son of David. Son of God is an unseen force.
Amen.
When God was using that attribute as a Son of God, it was down through the ages. And in the ages, God used that Son of God role to play a mediator between God and man at the building of the churches. In the middle of the seven churches, it was still God, but he was in the attribute of Son of God.
Amen.
And so as that attribute was expressing itself down through the ages, all you could do is have an unseen force. That's why they didn't understand what God was doing. They knew there was a God. They knew he existed. They knew he was there. But all through those seven church ages, they didn't know where God was. They didn't know altogether what God was doing. And they were trying their best to find out where God was and what he was up to. But that was the Son of God ministry down through the ages, an unseen force. Now, when you talk about the Son of David, you're talking about the king of Israel. He's going to go back to the Jews as their king. And we don't really look at him as Son of David to the Gentiles because he didn't play that role with us. He played the role as Son of God. He played the role as Son of Man. And he did not play the role with the Gentiles as Son of David. But now we get back to Son of Man and we ask ourselves, okay, now with the Son of Man ministry, what does that consist of? Because Jesus said you're going to desire to see one of those days. And when you have the Son of Man ministry, you've got the Word of God veiled in human skin.
Amen.
And it's not partial word now. You've got all that God is in human skin. And in order for you to have the Son of Man ministry on the scene, you have to have 100% the Word of God. When Jesus was here, he was the Son of Man. 100% of the word that he had came from God, and he expressed that in himself. He was the Son of Man on the scene. But Jesus said over here in Luke 17, you were going to desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. And they said, well, one of the days, what do you mean one of the days? You mean there's more than one? The answer to that is yes, there's more than one. There was the Son of Man day when Jesus was here in Alpha. And he also said in Luke 17 that the Son of Man would be revealed at the end time.
Amen.
Just before the destruction of the world.
Amen.
Now, if you got the fullness of the word in the Alpha, if it's going to be the same as what it is in Omega, then you have to have the fullness of the word in Omega. So we have to understand that God was ordaining us to have that Son of Man ministry at the end time, just before the body change, just before the rapture. Now that Son of Man ministry is God veiled in human flesh.
Amen.
No less, no more. It was God veiled in human flesh. And in order to get the word of God veiled in human flesh, God had a way to do that, and that's called a prophet. Because God said he wouldn't do anything, Amos 4, won't do anything until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophet. God first had to come. But see, you don't understand. The major part of this day wasn't William Branham. The major part of this day was what William Branham introduced. It wasn't John the Baptist that was important. John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ. And so William Branham didn't come to introduce himself. He came to introduce us to Christ. And see, what he did, his job, Brother Branham said, and I got all these quotes out of order here, but Brother Branham said that ministry of Malachi 4 come to do two things. First, it was coming to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. But then the second part of that ministry was going to literally turn the hearts of the children back. That second part of that ministry wasn't even William Branham. The second part of that ministry was the Son of Man himself come down on the scene to the earth one more time to veil himself in human skin. So you couldn't even have the Son of Man without the fullness of the word. So when Jesus came at the end time, it took a prophet to come on the scene to, first of all, restore the word. He said, I will restore. He was going to first restore the word. And the reason he had to restore the word, and see, people don't even understand why we had to have a prophet. They think we just have to have a prophet just because God's going to bring a prophet. And I'm talking about message people. They think God's just bring us a prophet. But there was a reason for that. A prophet, because he knew that he couldn't reveal his word to the bride outside first revealing it to his prophet. And he couldn't even come and quicken the Son of Man ministry to the bride until he first restored all the word back like it should be. God had to restore the word, because that word was going to be him in the body of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to jump down here and go over here to Ezekiel chapter 11, and I don't have to read it, just to let you see, just over to Ezekiel 11, verse 4 and 5. And God was talking to Ezekiel, and he called him Son of Man. And the reason he called him Son of Man was because he was holding the Word of God.
Amen.
And so whenever the prophet is holding the Word of God, he is recognized as a Son of Man. Brother Bennett said it's a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. And anytime God gives you the Word of God, he calls you Son of Man.
Amen.
So at the end time, before we could be called the Son of Man ministry, God had to first restore back the Word that was through the ages. He couldn't even have a Son of Man ministry until the ages was restored back to the original that Paul had. And so that's why God lifted the Word, and he stayed there on the throne for 2,000 years as a Son of God ministry, not Son of Man and not Son of David. It was the Son of God ministry down through the ages. But then he said that he had to come at the end time to bring the Son of Man ministry on the scene, because you know it's the Son of Man ministry that's going to about the resurrection. You don't have a resurrection in the Son of God ministry.
Amen.
You don't have a resurrection in the Son of David ministry. But when you have the Son of Man ministry on the scene, then you have a resurrection. Jesus, when he was on the scene, he came to Mary and Martha when Lazarus had died. And they thought that Lazarus had died, and that Mary and Martha were all tore up about it. And they were saying, Jesus, had you been here, then you could have saved Lazarus. But see, Jesus wasn't worried about the time. He wasn't worried about Lazarus, how many days he would be dead. He purposely set aside and made his way to Lazarus on the fourth day because he wanted to make sure he was good and dead.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure that nobody took the credit for what he was going to do. But when he walked up on the scene, he saw Mary and Martha there. And Martha and Mary's like, Jesus, had you been here? See, what you don't understand is when you got the Son of Man on the scene, the resurrection is on the scene. And you can't even have a resurrection without the Son of Man. And when Jesus stepped on the scene and Mary and Martha was standing there, they said, Lord, had you been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And even though he's died, see, they were believers, but they just weren't believers to the word of their day. They thought, Lord, even though Lazarus died, he's going to get up and resurrect. Amen. Jesus said, what are you talking about, Mary? What are you talking about, Martha? I ain't worried about whether Lazarus is dead or not. When you have the Son of Man on the scene, you've got the resurrection on the scene. Amen. We're talking about getting a dead body up. We can't get a body up without the Son of Man ministry. That's the whole reason the Son of Man ministry had to come again at the end time, because we talked about a resurrection with Jesus, but not only did we have a resurrection then, we have to have a resurrection now. Everything that God was doing down through the church ages was building us up to a point where the Son of Man ministry could resurrect the dead again. And we sit here in this hour and we almost don't even recognize the authority that the Son of Man ministry has given you. Just like Mary. Mary is standing here saying, Jesus, had you been here? Jesus is like, I'm worried about whether I was here or not. I am the resurrection and the life. When you have the Son of Man ministry on the scene, you've got the resurrection and the life right there in your hands. And you don't have to look anywhere else. Jesus didn't have to go nowhere else to get the resurrection power. He had it within himself. As the Son of Man ministry, you got to understand, the Son of Man ministry is the resurrection.
Amen.
We're talking about a rapture. It takes the Son of Man ministry to even bring about a rapture. That's why we had to have this ministry. It wasn't just to have a Son of Man ministry. It's to get the dead up. That's why we're here. We almost don't even know why we're here. We think we're here to fuss and fight about scriptures and quotes and deal with the world and condemn everything under the sun. No, we're here to get the dead up. Everything else in that Bible is done except for the resurrection for the Gentiles. Brother Branham said, I don't see any other scripture that needs to be fulfilled that's going to prevent us from having a rapture. There's not one. We are right here. And the thing is, we as the bride need to recognize that we are the resurrection and the life. Just like Jesus was. If the Son of Man was then, the Son of Man is now. Whatever the Son of Man was 2,000 years ago, the Son of Man is now. If he could heal then, he can heal now. Brother Branham said the same attributes that was in him is in the bride.
Amen.
So when we talk about the Son of Man ministry, the whole purpose for the Son of Man ministry at the end time is to put God in skin again.
Amen.
Not God up here somewhere. God actually walks. God actually talks. God actually eats. God actually sleeps. God's moving around the earth. God's doing these things. It's not somebody. It's God himself. It's the Son of Man ministry in skin, because now the Son of Man is in the bride of Jesus Christ. And if you're looking for a resurrection, where are you going to look? If you're looking for a rapture, where are you going to look? Who's going to have the authority? All that God was, Brother Branham said, he poured into Christ.
Amen.
And all that Christ was, he poured into the bride.
Amen.
So if there's going to be a resurrection, it's going to come from the bride.
Amen.
If there's going to be a body change, it's going to come from the bride.
Amen.
If there's going to be a rapture, it's going to come from the bride. Because she has got all the power has been given to her.
Amen.
The Son of Man ministry was given unto the bride of Jesus Christ. And now she's standing here with the same authority, the same power that Jesus had 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
And we're talking about a resurrection. We're talking about a rapture.
Amen.
Where are you looking for? Where are you looking for that to come from?
Thank you, Lord.
A lot of us are looking up here for a trumpet in the sky. A lot of us are looking for God to come back and do something else. You know, he's not going to come back and do anything else. He's not going to bring no new message. He's not going to bring no new prophet. He's not going to bring no new nothing. Everything that we needed was brought to us by the messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
To get the body changed, we don't need one more quote, one more scripture, one more prophet, one more prophecy. Don't need any more. It's all here. But it needs to be in the bride.
Amen.
You look in the book of Revelation. When you look at the scriptures in the book of Revelation, Jesus sort of stepped back. And the bride started talking.
Hallelujah.
She started doing things.
Amen.
The spirit and the bride say,
Amen.
Come.
Right.
You know, and the rapture happens. It's happening in the right. Look over at Thessalonians. Look at where look at where he ends up. He comes down in a shout and a voice and a trumpet. All three of those things end up in the bride. They don't end up in the groom. They end up in the bride. The shout is a message. The message by the prophet. And that shout turns to a voice. Same message. It's not a different message. It's that voice that moves from the prophet to the bride. And that bride walks around here with that same message. And then that same message comes from the voice, the voice to the trumpet. And that trumpet, Brother Branham said, is a resurrection trumpet.
Amen.
It's a gathering trumpet.
Amen.
It's to get the living and the dead together. But all that happens down here with the bride. It's not happening up there with the groom. You got to remember, Brother Branham said, that Jesus will not come back to earth again until this thing is cleaned off.
Amen.
So he's not going to put feet down here. He's not going to set foot down here and say, okay, now let's get this thing raptured out of here. No, the rapture is going to happen because he's given it to the Son of Man. He's given it to the bride. And the bride stands here with all the authority that she needs to get the dead up.
Thank you, Lord.
She don't have to look anywhere else. We don't need another message.
Amen.
We don't need. That's why it always bothers me when people come with their eighth messenger and their new messengers and new prophets and new message and new this and new that and try to bring all this new thing. Everything that God needed for the bride to rapture out of here came through the messenger of Revelations 10, 1 through 7. Everything. I'm not looking for anybody else to bring anything new. I'm not waiting for anybody else to come with some new doctrine. A lot of people thought Brother Branham needed to get back up from the dead to come back to reveal the seventh seal. The seventh seal is revealed.
Amen.
The bride knows who she is. She knows what it is. We're not waiting on the seventh seal. The seventh seal is in the bride now. So now we're standing up here. We are the final voice, Brother Branham said,
Amen.
To the final age. The bride is the final voice to the final age. There will be no other voice. There will be no other message. There will be no other messenger but the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And she'll stand on her feet as the Son of Man.
Hallelujah.
With 100% thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And she will be the one who gets the dead up. It won't be Brother Branham coming back from the dead to do it. He don't need to come back and reveal anything else. The seventh seal was revealed, but it wasn't even revealed. You know, the seventh seal was not even revealed by Brother Branham.
Amen.
He opened the sixth, but what did he tell you when he preached the seals? When it got to the seventh seal, it came across in an unknown tongue.
Amen.
Brother Branham didn't even know what it was.
Amen.
And he told him, he said, just pray, church. He said, just pray. We don't know what it is. That's what he said when he was talking about the seventh seal opening up when he preached the seals. But he said, we don't know what it is. But then go over to Christ the mystery.
Amen.
When the Son of Man come on the scene. Because remember, the Son of Man wasn't Brother Branham.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, I am a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man.
Right.
But when the Son of Man came, he came and brought the seventh seal with him.
Right.
The seventh seal is the Son of Man. The seventh seal, Brother Branham said, in Christ the mystery, all the way up until then, he didn't know what it was. But it's awful funny in Christ the mystery, Brother Branham said, the seventh seal, he said, nobody knew that the seventh seal was the coming of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So now the bride knows what the seventh seal is.
Amen.
We know it was the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
So where did he go? When the Lord came down here, he came down in the Son of Man ministry and moved into the bride body. Now all the healing comes in through the bride. All the fulfilling of the scriptures come in through the bride. The rapture is going to come in through the bride. The resurrection is going to come in through the bride. There will be no other message outside of what the message the bride has. That's why he said in Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say come. It wasn't even the Spirit and the groom. It wasn't even Jesus Christ saying that. It was the Spirit of God in the bride saying come. There's your Son of Man ministry. That Son of Man ministry is alive and well in the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if there's going to be a rapture, it'll be a rapture because the bride says so.
Amen.
If the dead are going to get up, it's because the bride says so. She knows who's, we know who's going to get up.
Hallelujah.
We sit in all our churches with the seven churches up there flashing out every name that's going to be called at the resurrection.
Amen.
We even know who's going to get up last. We even know who's going to get up first. Brother Branham said, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last.
Amen.
We're getting up first. This age is getting up first.
Amen.
And it'll go all the way back to Paul.
Amen.
Who knew that but the bride?
Hallelujah.
We're sitting here with this revelation of the rapture right in our hands, and we act like we don't have nothing.
Amen.
We know who's going to get up. We know the order they're going to get up. We know how long it's going to take. We know that. We know every messenger that's going to get out of the grave.
Amen.
Imagine that.
Hallelujah.
Why do we know this? We needed to know this because the bride is, when Jesus stood there at Lazarus' tomb, he called them by name.
Amen.
Had he not called Lazarus by name, all the dead would have got up. Had he said, "Dead, get up," they all would have got up. But it wasn't time for all the dead to get up. In this hour that we're living in at the resurrection time, it's not time for all the dead to get up. So the bride has to know who to call.
Amen.
And we have it in every church. We got it in every group. We know exactly who's going to get up. We know the order they're going to get up. That authority has been given to the bride. And we're sitting here with the Son of Man ministry, which is the full word of God right in front of our noses. And we almost will sit here and wonder how the rapture is going to happen. When the rapture is going to happen. Who's it going to happen through? Who's going to have that authority to call that voice up and get the dead up? It's going to be the bride. The same message in the shout was in the voice. Same message in the voice was in the trumpet. Now, I'm going to just roll right through this because I'm ready to wrap this up, believe it or not. I'm going to go over here because we don't pay much attention. I'm just going to jump on down here. I'll just go right on to the bottom. We don't pay much attention to what God is asking the bride to do. We spend so much time talking about William Branham.
Amen. Yeah,
that's
right. Amen.
Yes. All right, I'm just checking. I'll see if you preachers are asleep. We spend so much time talking about William Branham and his job. But what about your job?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right.
Son of Man Ministry did his job in William Branham just fine. He restored the word. He was the first born in this day.
Amen.
Under the Son of Man ministry.
Amen.
But he wasn't the last. But we get caught up in the Son of Man ministry of William Branham, and we don't even give it the real place it needs to be right now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We say that William Branham had the Son of Man ministry. He was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. But who are you?
Amen.
Come on, preachers.
Amen.
Who are you? Are you any less?
Amen. Hallelujah.
If you have the same message that the prophet had, then you have the same authority.
Yes.
You have the same ministry.
Amen.
You have everything you need. See, you got to remember, God bring it to the prophet, but it's not just to the prophet, it's to the age. And over here in Revelation chapter 10, we read this all the time. Revelation 10, 1 through 7. Revelation 10, 1 through 7. I wouldn't even have to open a book and you brothers could quote it to me what Revelation 10, 1 through 7 is. You know it by heart. You know that the angel came down in Revelation 10 and 1. You know it came down to the seventh angel messenger. You know that he'd come and he preached and he brought the message to us. We could quote this. We've quoted it for 60 years now.
Hallelujah.
We know that frontwards and backwards. Brother Branham preached it frontwards and backwards. He talked about the seventh angel, 1 through 7, 1 through 7, 1 through 7. You ever ask yourself, what about the rest of the story?
Hallelujah.
Brother Branham never one time mentioned Revelations 10, 8 through 11.
Amen.
Never
Amen.
Did.
Amen.
He didn't mention it one time. You know why he didn't mention it? Because it wasn't his scripture.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But it was something that needed to be fulfilled. It was just as much a part of the body as ministry as everything else.
Amen.
But we look at 1 through 7 just like the prophet did. And we read 1 through 7, 1 through 7. Church, we need to read 8 through 11. We need to find out what it means for you.
Amen.
As preachers to preach. It ain't enough for you to just preach 7 now.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, it's good. It's necessary. It's a part of it. But it's not the end of the story. Revelation chapter 10, verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Let's stop right there. That little book open was the word of God.
Amen.
It had been closed. It had been sealed with those seven seals for 2,000 years. Nobody knew what it was. Nobody could do anything with it. Nobody could understand it. It was seals and horse riders and candlesticks and nobody understood it. But then at the opening of the seals, Revelation 5, when that angel went forth and he took that book. Remember that angel went and took the book?
Amen.
That angel wasn't William Branham.
Amen. Uh-huh. Amen.
Y'all know that, don't you? That angel wasn't William Branham. That angel was the Lord himself.
Yes.
Because William Branham wasn't worthy to open the seals. Only that angel, the Lord himself, could open the seal. Matter of fact, when John looked around, he saw no M-A-N. No man that was worthy to open his book. No man could even look on it. We couldn't even look into the book. It took Jesus Christ himself to reveal that book to us. Nobody else could do it. Nobody else was worthy. Nobody else would even have anything. We were not worthy to even look on that book. So the Lord himself opened the seals. The Lord himself sent those seals down here his word. The Lord himself is the one who did that, not William Branham. William Branham, he was preaching the seals, and he got to one, and he said, I was about ready to make a terrible mistake today. He had his thinking on it, and he was going to bring his thinking out and share it with the congregation. But then the angel of the Lord came in there, and when the angel of the Lord came in, then he straightened Brother Branham out, and Brother Branham was able to preach it because Brother Branham didn't know what it was. So when the angel opened up that book and sent it down his word in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, he brought that down. That heavenly angel brought it down to the earthly angel of Revelation 10 and 7.
Amen.
We all know this story because we're all in the message.
Amen.
So we know Brother Branham talked about him 10 through 7, 1 through 7. But when you get to chapter verse 8, there was a book that you had to take. There was a book that wasn't just for the prophet, because remember, the messenger of Revelation 10 and 7 took the book when the angel brought it down. So it wasn't talking about him. It's talking about you. It's talking about me. It's talking about the bride.
Amen.
This 8 through 11 is the bride's ministry of the Son of Man to the earth.
Amen.
That little book that was in the hand, you have to take this book. And it's not even something that God's going to force you to do. You got to want this. That's why I love it, because he said, you take it. You come and take it. He's not going to force you to do this. You got to want this message. You got to want this revelation. You got to want to have the truth. You're going to see the bride at the end time will want revelation.
Amen.
She's going to want to know what's right. She's going to want to do what's right. A lot of times we get things all mixed up and messed up, and we'll call it this, we'll call it that. But when the angel comes, he'll straighten every bit of that out. That's why you don't have to worry about trying to get everybody corrected in this message. Let the angel do it.
Amen.
You can't do it. You can't make people believe. You got to want this book. You got to want this revelation. You got to want to take it for yourself.
Amen.
Every minister that's sitting here today, you got to want this for yourself.
Amen.
If I could come here and I could tell you to take it, but if you don't want it, you won't get it.
Amen.
That's why I'm saying you can't force feed somebody. If you don't want what I'm, you say, I don't believe a word you're saying. That's fine. If you don't want it, don't take it.
Amen. That's right.
I know the bride will.
Amen.
Because she wants the word.
Amen.
She wants the truth. She wants the revelation.
Amen.
She's going to willingly take this book and eat it.
Amen.
Nobody can make her do otherwise.
Amen.
She has a desire in her. And do you realize that same desire in her is the desire that was in the bride of every age? Every age, the bride clung to, because it was in them to do so. And when you get to the last day, when the Son of Man ministry comes back on the scene, this bride will take the book and eat it.
Amen.
She will.
Amen.
It won't even be an if, ands, or buts. It won't even be a question about it. She is going to take every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
That's what the bride has done in every age. If he only gave him a little bit, they received a little bit. Luther, all he had was the just shall live by faith. You know what the bride did? They jumped on that little bit of word for the hour, and they lived by that.
Yes.
When a little more light came in Wesley, they jumped on that. Pentecost, they jumped on that. Brother Brown said, Luther, if he could, he'd be right here where we are in the revelation right now. And he just didn't live long enough.
Hallelujah.
The bride always has a desire for the truth. You don't have to make her eat this. She will willingly take this book because she and the book has to become one. So verse 8 said, take the book. Open. He said, take the book. And he said, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me that little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. This bride will eat this word. It's not force fed. She wants it.
Amen.
That's why I don't make my congregation come to church. I don't make them do anything. I figured if God's in there, He'll do it.
Amen.
Because you'll willingly, we serve God because we want to. The bride in this hour serves God because she wants to. She willingly takes the book. She'll willingly eat it. Even though it cost her, she will take the book.
Amen.
And he said over there, he said, take the book and eat it. He said, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. We love this message. We love the word. We love the truth. We love this message that God has given us. Amen. But it cost us our friends, cost us our family, cost us our relationships, cost us our neighbor, cost us our church affiliation, cost you everything. It cost you to be here today.
Amen.
And because you were willing to do it, because you wanted that book, you said, Lord, give me that book. You purposely wanted to do it. And he said over here in verse 10, he said, and I took the book. I, as an individual, you have to want the book. You have to take the book for the believers, and the believers are ordained for the message. She will take the book no matter what it costs her. It may cost her family, but she'll give it up. It'll cost her popularity, but she'll give it up. It'll cost her friendship, but she'll give up because she is ordained to do what she's doing. And I took the little book, and it's an individual thing. It's not even your church. It's you. Everyone in your church, your assembly, have to take the book for themselves. You can't do it for them, and you can't make them do it. Like I said, you can't give a revelation. If they don't want the book, they'll never get a revelation. If you don't really want all this message, you'll never get all of it. If all of you are in here as far as fishes and loaves and letting to see what God can do, miracles and signs and wonders and collecting money and doing all this stuff, if that's all you're in this message for, you're going to get.
That's right.
But if you want it all, if you want the whole book, if you want to eat every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, come into this hour, summonate, eat the entire message. It's not an hour that you can just pick and choose between what you want and what you don't want. You can't say, well, I like this part. God sent us a prophet, but I don't like this part. What is that part? And I don't. No, no, no. You got to take every word. Every word.
Amen.
Anytime God speaks, you have to take it.
Amen.
When God speaks, and God will speak out of his bride.
Amen.
When he speaks in this hour, where are you going to hear it from? It's not going to come out of William Branham. William Branham did his job. He's dead and gone.
Amen.
He is depending on you to speak the truth to get him up. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I ate it, my belly became bitter. As soon as I ate it, my friends left. My family backed off. My associations left. All this started happening as soon as I start taking the full word. Because it takes the full word to be the Son of Man.
Yeah.
Remember, the Son of Man is the fullness of the word in human skin.
Yeah.
So when you take this word in, it's going to cost you, but the bride is willing to pay it. And listen to what he said in verse 11. And he said unto me, who is that? The bride?
Yes.
Not William Branham. See, William Branham stopped at verse 7.
Yes.
That's why he only read this verse 7. The rest of it wasn't concerning him. That Son of Man ministry that came down in him came into the bride.
Amen.
We had to take that same book. Now listen to what he says. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again. Why again? Because it was already prophesied by William Branham in verses 1 through 7. Everything that he had prophesied in 1 through 7, the bride's going to prophesy in 8 through 11. You must prophesy again. What are you going to prophesy? The coming of the Lord, the Son of Man ministry, the fullness of the word, the restoration of the word, the restoration of the bride tree, the coming of the Lord, the resurrection of the dead. All these things are in the bride now. That's what her message is. That's what she's talking about. She is the Son of Man ministry in this hour that we're living. Don't look to William Branham to be the Son of Man ministry. He was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Now the bride is a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. That's the job of the bride. Now what does she do? She takes the same message Remember the angel at Revelation 10 and 1, he brought the opening of the seals. Not 10 and 7. He brought it down to 10 and 7.
Amen.
Brother Brown says, word. So that same word that 10 and 1 brought to 10 and 7, that same word that was in 10 and 7 and 10 and 8 gets fed to the bride.
Amen.
And she becomes the Son of Man to the world. She is the final voice to the final age. She's the last one that has anything to say to the Gentile bride. Not William Branham. The Spirit and the bride say come. She's the one that's got the voice. She's the one that holds the message. She's the one that holds the seven seals. She's the one that holds the rapture. She's the one that holds the voice to call to the dead to get up. Well, just as much as Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The bride now is on her feet saying, I am the resurrection and the life. If the dead are going to get up, it's going to get up because I say so. He said, now that's awful bold of you. We have to be bold because that's who we are. We are the bride of Christ. Over there in Revelation chapter 22, just to read the one verse there. He said, and the Spirit, verse 17, and the bride. Why the bride? Why not the prophet? Why not the groom? A lot of people try to put so much emphasis. I know they got a lot of this over here about the groom and the message and the back to the masculine and all that. God didn't want to go back to the masculine. He wanted the bride to get the dead up. And he is going to meet us in the air. But it's the Spirit and the bride that says come. And let him that athirst say come. And let him that athirst come. Where are you going to come? To where the word is. To where the bride is. Because the word is in the bride. Remember the shout, the voice, and the trumpet? That's the traveling of the word right to the bride. And that bride is sitting here with the full word of God now. She has full, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
She's on her feet. She knows what it is. She knows what to do with the word. And the final voice is in the bride.
Amen.
Listen to what Brother Branham said in the Church of Age book. He said, a momentary consideration, and I'm closing here, of the church history will prove how accurate this thought is. In the dark ages, the word was almost entirely lost to the people. But God sent Luther with the word. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time. But they organized. And again, pure word was lost for organization tends towards dogmas and creeds. And not simple word. They could no longer speak for God. See, when you get out of God's word, you're no longer speaking for God.
Amen.
In the message or out. God only speaks behind his word. It says, the Lutherans spoke for God at the time, but they organized. And again, pure word was lost for organization tends towards dogmas and creeds and not simple word. They could no longer speak for God. Then God sent Wesley. And he was the voice with the word in his day. The people took his revelation from God because the living epistles, they were because the living epistles read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodists failed, they raised up others, and so it has gone on through the years until the last day. There again is another people in the land who, under their messenger, will be the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
There's a group of people who are going to be the final voice to the final age under our messenger. Yes, sir, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It is his own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her. He is confounding her through the prophet and the bride. For the voice of God will be in her.
Amen.
The voice of God is going to be in the bride.
Amen.
People are looking for the voice of God. And they don't know where to find it. It's going to be in his bride. It's not even in the prophet anymore.
Hallelujah.
It's in the bride. It's not in the books. It's not in the tapes. It's in the bride.
Amen.
It's a living word. It's not some dead letter, some quote, some book. It's the living word of God, the final voice in the bride.
Amen.
It says, so God is turning on her. He will confound her with the prophet and the bride, for the voice of God will be in her. Yes, it is, for it says in the last chapter, Revelation verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say come. Once more, the world will hear directly from God as at Pentecost. But of course, the word bride will be repudiated as in the first age.
Amen.
The bride will be the final voice to the final age. The Son of Man ministry, living in the day of the Son of Man, Brother Branham said that that's going to be this day that we're living in. Jesus said, you're going to long for one of these days. We're here now. We're in a dust that Brother Branham said, when was that Son of Day ministry, Son of Man ministry going to happen? He said, it happened then. There's only 2 days. It happened then, and it'll happen now.
Amen.
The voice of the Son is now in the bride.
Amen.
And nowhere else can you get it. You say, well, I'll get it on my own. I'll get it in the book. It comes by preaching.
Yes.
Can't get it any other way. It won't come by your studies, Brother Branham said. It won't come by your reading the books. It won't come by your affiliations. It won't come by shaking hands and joining churches. It'll come by the revelation of Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. What is the new birth, Brother Branham asked? It's Christ, the Word, the revelation, personally revealed to you. That Son of Man ministry is alive and well. It's in every born-again believer. And it's alive and well in the bride in this day that we're living in. God help us. If we're living in the day of the Son of Man, that's this day. You say, well, I don't see the day of the Son of Man. You need to look a little closer.
Amen.
You need to know what you're looking for. Because if you know what you're looking for, when you get to the Son of Man, you'll recognize him. The final voice to the final age is in his bride. She will do what his will is, or she'll keep still.
Amen.
That's what she'll do. Because it's the voice of God in the bride.
Amen.
The Son of Man ministry in the bride, the wife of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for the Son of Man ministry. And thank you what it means to the bride. She's on her feet. Brother Branham says she knows what it is. And she will only do the will of the Father. Thank you for this congregation, this pastors that are here, and ask you to, Lord, let them look closer and let them make sure that they're talking to the people and pointing them to the Son of Man ministry that's alive and well in this day. That we're not just stuck on a message. We're not just stuck on a prophet. We're not just stuck on a scripture. But we're looking at the living, breathing bride of Jesus Christ on her feet who knows what it is. She is the resurrection and the life in this hour. Thank you for this time together and ask you to continue to be with us this week. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Huh? I am. God bless you, sir. Yes.
Okay. The voice, the reading from God.
Amen.
The reading from God. Once again, because there is a word by now. They hear it. Once again. Okay, I know some of us wants to clarify and wants to say something more.
Hope and pray that this could be the the climax of what we have. Praise the Lord. So, Brother Roger wants to ask something or clarify something. Okay. Use the microphone so that
everyone can hear.
Why do things? I'm so serious. My question is about the when Jesus was here on earth, when when Jesus came to Lazarus and Lazarus raised from the dead, specific call his name Lazarus. That is the ministry of the Son of Man. Because when Jesus ministry in earth, he has a two ministry, Son of Man, a Son of God, or Son of Man.
Son of Man.
Son of Man.
Son of Man.
Yeah.
Son of Man.
When Jesus came to the Son of Man ministry.
Question.
Not question. So.
Thank you, brother.
He's preaching.
Yeah, you preaching. Amen.
Now, another one.
About
the sequence of events. Because our current events now in the whole world, when I study the current events, because I heard many pastors is now is the Armageddon is here right now. Now that's why I'm asking you about the sequence of events, because President Netanyahu declares in Israel that when you preach Jesus, you might be in jail in 1 year. According to the Bible, when you receive Jesus, you are persecuted. What is the Netanyahu? Why he said that? Don't preach Jesus.
Okay.
So.
Can you stand here, Brother Nathan, so that the video can catch you?
Okay. And both of these?
Yeah, both of them. You have two microphones.
Well, remember that Israel doesn't believe in Jesus. They won't want you to preach Jesus even before Armageddon. They've never preached Jesus for 2,000 years, so I would expect them to do that and to say that. He's not as far as they know. But as far as Armageddon, we're not there yet. Brother Branham said that he'll rapture the bride out. You haven't even begun. We think it's bad now. You get the bride out of here, and it's going to get bad.
Amen.
But no, we're not going through the tribulation.
No.
The bride is not going to go. Brother Branham said that he's not going to send his bride through the tribulation, that she will be taken to the palace.
Amen.
Before that he reveals himself to Benjamin Netanyahu. Before he reveals himself. So that's why he's saying that. That's just part of the Jewish customs. They're the same one that killed him in the first place. That's for him to say that. Well, I wouldn't even count that as persecution for the tribulation period, because then once the persecution starts for the tribulation period, you only got 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And that's when God starts dealing with the Jews, and the bride's going to be gone at that time. So we're still here, so it couldn't be.
But in the book of Acts, there is persecution in the time of Paul.
Mm-hmm. No, there's persecution.
Isn't that the Great Tribulation?
No. There's persecution now.
Yeah.
Even now there's persecution. But it's not a tribulation. And
when Paul declared Jesus, because in the time of Israel they are scared about Jesus, they did not know about Jesus. But
mm-hmm.
when Paul preached about Jesus, they are new.
Right. But it's still, we are not in the tribulation. We're not at Armageddon. We're not at that point yet. It's not bad yet. It's getting bad. You would think it.
Yeah,
it's getting bad, but we're not there yet. Because when that happens, God said he'll take his bride out of here.
Amen.
And because he's going to have to go back to deal with Israel. And he can't deal with the Gentiles and the Jews at the same time.
That's right.
Okay? Anybody got anything else?
Maybe it's just like the Second World War. It was just started before 1945.
Right.
It's geographical. It was happening geographically.
Right.
But the full
this didn't happen until later.
We are on it.
Yes. Anything else while I'm up here?
Yeah.
Because in the question, brother, while the bride is here, Satan cannot.
He can't fully destroy the world with us here. Yeah. I thought I saw a hand back there.
Yeah, brother Jeremy, yeah. Come here.
You want to say it? You want to put it in a microphone?
Yeah. This is regarding chapter 24, verse 8.
Okay.
And all these are the beginning of the sorrow.
Okay.
It's related in this article, right?
Say that again.
Chapter 24, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
It says that all these are the beginning of the sorrows.
Right.
This is the last
thing,
right?
Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of sorrows, but the end is not yet come.
Yeah,
right. It's just the beginning. So that's a good scripture for that. It's the beginning of sorrows, but the end is not yet. Okay?
So we're going under the tribulation.
We're not going to be here when the tribulation happens. Not the bride. He's not going to send his bride through the tribulation. It may get bad, and it's bad now. But that's just the beginning of sorrows, but not the beginning of the tribulation period.
Amen. Maybe it's also like a family in the word.
There's a what in the word?
I mean, there's a food. It's spiritual food.
No. The denomination, they will keep what they have, and they'll go right into the tribulation period. They will go down in the tribulation period with the rest of the unbelievers in the world. And the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. There's one back there.
It's the events of the big one will start the Great Tribulation.
The big one
earthquake will start the Great Tribulation.
Well, the
big one strike, is that the beginning of the tribulation?
The big one what?
The big one. Earthquake.
Big earthquake. Oh, you're talking about in California.
Yeah.
Okay. That will probably have something to do with it, but I'm not saying that that will be the sign of the tribulation, because that wasn't what Brother Branham made it a sign of. It's just, that's going to be an awful time when that does happen, and the world will be in a mess anyway. So I pray that the bride is gone before that even happens. Yeah.
The sharks.
And Billy Paul, he see personally according to that message.
I've heard that, but I don't hold on to that, because Billy Paul is not the prophet. I would just stick with what Brother Branham said and showed, and the signs that he had. I've heard that. I've heard different statements. Sharks that swim around a certain street sign and different things,
but
yeah. I personally am not using Billy Paul. I personally am not using Billy Paul as a timetable on the rapture, because he's an old man now in anybody's book.
I heard a while ago,
like,
can you explain it to me? It is revealed in towards 1963 to 1965, the part of the unknown language being revealed in the 1963 towards 65.
Can he help? What did he say? Yeah, when Brother Branham preached the seals, when he got to the seventh seal, he revealed all six of them. To the seventh seal, it went across in an unknown tongue. Brother Branham didn't even know what it meant. And he said, I don't know what it is. He said, just pray, church. But then when he got over to Christ the Mystery, he told us exactly what the seventh seal was. So between preaching the seals and Christ the Mystery, he got a revelation that that seventh coming of the Lord, because that's what he told us it was.
So
he didn't.
That
was what the unknown tongue was when he preached the seventh seal.
Unknown to the other people, but to those who get the revelation.
Well, it is unknown to them, but it was even unknown to Brother Branham.
Yeah.
When it went across in the seventh seal, it was an unknown tongue, but when it got to Christ's Mystery, he told us exactly what that seventh seal was. He said nobody knew, but that was the coming of the Lord. That's when he came back. So yes, it did go across in unknown tongues, but it was interpreted by Brother Branham in Christ the Mystery.
I remember the brothers in Puerto Rico. That's why the Spanish brothers rebuilt, because that's unknown tongues, the Spanish dialect.
I don't think that's quite what it was.
Another one.
Yes, sir.
According to the Prophet Branham, he said, Brother Joseph Branham is a prophet. What kind of prophet
is he?
Well, there's two types of prophets. There's major prophets and there are minor prophets. And Brother Branham said we've only had two major prophets. Well, he said Paul and the last day messenger prophet. That was when Brother Branham, that was the two major prophets. So if he's a prophet, he'd have to be a minor prophet, because that's all that we have available.
Yeah. Well, the prophet's in Ephesians 4.
Yeah, in the body there. So it doesn't mean he's not one, but it couldn't be a major prophet. And it's
according to my knowledge, that is the church and the politics or governments or the elites of the world. We control the whole world because that is what is your about.
vaccination. It's been many says many people say that it's a part of 666. What is your opinion?
Give you. One, if I didn't take vaccinations, I couldn't be here today.
I could see you there.
Yeah, we couldn't. They wouldn't let me fly. And so Brother Branham said about doctors, you know, if you're going to go to see a doctor, take his advice. And the doctor, I'm not afraid of the 666 mark of the beast because the beast has taken man's wisdom in and joined denominations and that. That's the mark of the beast is not the vaccination. So it's not, I'm not afraid of the vaccination. They'd say persecution. People who didn't take the vaccinations, a lot of them died. And so a lot of them that didn't take vaccinations can't travel. That's not so much persecution as you ask my opinion. My opinion, I told my congregation to get them. I told everybody in the church, I said, if you don't get your vaccination, just watch services from home. I don't care if you don't get it, but you just can't come to church. So I'm not afraid of the vaccinations. You say persecution, that's not much of a persecution to get a shot. And you say there are people who have rumored, oh, they're putting this chip in the vaccination. They had all this stuff. That's man. That's man and his confusion. Satan's the author of confusion. The simple fact is I had to have the shots, number one, to stay healthy. Number two, to be able to travel. So I'm taking it. If you don't want to travel and you don't want to stay healthy, don't take it. It's every man's choice. It's a choice, but it's the same with the flu shot. If you don't take it, you take a chance of getting the flu. You know, it's not that big a deal. I mean, it's not. Everybody's making this big. Well, it's Satan's mark of the beast. And no, mark of the beast is denomination taken on there. Huh? Yeah, he's been for 2,000 years almost. So I'm not afraid of the vaccination. I think I did get COVID and got really, really sick. So when I got a chance to get my shots, I jumped on it. I said, I'll take any. I don't want to ever be sick like that again. So I personally took it all, everything they had.
That's
it's just my opinion. But
that's
my opinion. Vote for it.
Brennan vaccination is a different from now. The vaccination when the time of Brother Branham and the vaccination is different because the vaccination today is the program to depopulate the people. Here in the Philippines, there are so many dying people.
Well,
vaccination.
I think that's worldwide. There are people died around the world. And besides, I had to take vaccinations to get here just like Brother Branham did. If you travel overseas, you have to take vaccinations. Simple as that. Or they won't let you travel. So I had to take some, not just COVID vaccination. I had to take every vaccination that we're supposed to take to come to the Philippines. So if I choose not to take the vaccinations, I don't get to travel. That's as simple as that. But it's not that big of a argument over vaccinations versus not. That's a personal choice. And if you don't take it, then it limits your travel abilities. That's what you're talking about. So
that's all.
It's not that deep. Anybody else? Don't ask my opinion. I'll give it to you. You ask my opinion?
I have no opinion, but I can tell you what the prophet said. Brother Branham said that is literally Moses and Elijah. He said, it's literal. It's not just spiritual. It's going to be Moses and Elijah that goes back. He's the, when he preached the message, and I don't remember right off which message, but he was saying that, and he, it was Moses and Enoch, because Elijah, one of the two, but he said, no, it's literally Moses and Elijah. Yes, it's because they asked the question to Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, if it's Moses and Elijah, then they already died. And Brother Branham said, Moses showed up on Mount Transfiguration.
Amen.
So God took him somewhere. And so he said, and it, he can die again over there in Revelations.
Okay, so Brother, my follow up question is it now Moses and Elijah?
I don't know. If they were here, they would be preaching to Israel, which means that we would be out of here.
Exactly.
So since I'm still here, I would say the answer is no. Well, they're not over there preaching to Israel right now, so they're not here. We're still here. As long as God's dealing with the Gentile bride, he will not be dealing with Israel. And Moses and Elijah are to Israel, not to the Gentiles. So for us to be here means that Moses and Elijah are not there. Literal. You ask that again, like you don't believe it.
Because you know where it has a very controversial issue now. Even in the place in Palestine, in the province.
Well, stay with what Brother Branham said.
Amen.
You can never go wrong with staying with what Brother Amen. Branham said. Prophet. Yes, and that's what Brother Branham said, so no matter what anybody else says, you stay with what the prophet said.
Amen.
I'm glad he said that. If you believe, huh?
That's why I call them. Yeah.
Okay.
Just so I know, that doctrine is not mentioned.
No.
Whether I believe literal coming of Elijah and you believe will have the same instant.
It's not the evidence of the Holy Ghost.
That's
not the evidence of the Holy Ghost.
It's not our time.
Right.
Okay, everybody. Now, one thing that I learned this morning about my brother name, just stay there. I want to stand here by your side. He pointed us about the give more stress about the ministry of the Son of Man. The Son of Man. That to me that's very essential.
Amen.
The congregation must have that such revelation to know that kind of ministry. Because the rapture is, you know, is anytime can take place. The body change is gonna take place. That's what I understand, you know. So if you can have some clarification about it, you can ask about the Son of Man. Because that's the focal point of the message of this day is the Son of Man. So anybody, Pastor Ernest? I know you have a friend standing on it. The Son of Man.
Us today, it's very clear for me about the Son of Man.
Okay.
Positioning, right position.
Amen.
The Son of Man.
Amen.
That's why it's a new thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's good.
I am so blessed.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. That's a new name, Pastor Nick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brother says, the new field.
That's the new
field.
New field?
He mentioned about the new field and the new land. That's the message of the hour.
I'm not sure if
the
I'm...
New land.
New fields.
New field.
New fields.
New field.
These,
new land.
But these are not... You're talking about new fields?
Yeah, new fields.
New field.
Yes. You're saying these are new fields?
The message.
The message? The message itself is a new field.
Exactly.
Yes.
Another
question. Is this really true that no one where the bride, the simple Christ was given to the bride? And we will be able to get up here, if you did, we will not know.
Well, Brother Brown said when he preached that seventh seal, we didn't know what it was. But when he got over there to Christ the Mystery, he said no one knew that was past tense the coming of the Lord.
That was.
So we now know when the Lord came back. We do know. The bride knows when the Lord came back. We just don't know when we're going to leave. We did. Yeah, and that's why Brother Brenham said even with the it's not going to happen all at the same time. You might get it before I do. I might get it before you do. But we'll all get it. Right. It's over there, I think.
Did he say 40 days?
30 to 40 day period. Like it was with Jesus when he resurrected the first time. Mm-hmm. You said that last one was your last one. What's your question?
The message of the bride today is the third point.
Uh-huh.
The message to give the Son of Man is the third point message.
Yes.
Just like Abraham. When Abraham heard the message from God, he said, if there is a 50 people, the message today, the bride message,
yes. The third pool, the bride's message, and the Son of Man is one and the same thing.
I would like to say, sir, can you give us, can you project the word? How about now? There's only one quick information what you have said. Okay. Through the sacrifice of sheep, a predation which could never bring spirit. For now, so it was so strengthened with what you have said.
Yes,
it's very sweet, the Son of God.
Well, there is only seven messengers. You're not going to call by his name. You're going to get called by the messenger of your hour.
So the grandfather could not be raised up because that grandfather is the age of Luther.
Right. But when Luther gets up, that's when they'll get up. That group of Luther will get up.
That's it. So
there's only seven names.
Amen. Thank you for your clarification.
Amen.
Is there any? Could you tell us a little bit? Is there a word now?
Lazarus did twice.
Right. Lazarus died twice. So can Moses and Elijah. You want to know when he talked about five comings of the spirit of Elijah? Right. Well, number one, the first coming of Elijah was literal.
Right.
And the last coming of Elijah is literal.
Exactly.
And the other three are spiritual. Spirit of Elijah. So if you try to say that it can't be literal because God had the spirit of Elijah five times, then you have to take away that first coming because that was Elijah himself. And that was a literal coming of Elijah. God's not worried about literal spiritual. It's just man in our thinking that we get caught up in literal or spiritual. But if God said it's going to be literal Elijah, spoken by our prophet, then it's going to be literal Elijah.
Amen. That's not right. But as a pastor, of course, you have to answer.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not. But it's not the first time that it was literal.
Yeah. Again, the same for our day.
Just be in a rapture. You be in a rapture, you won't have to worry about it. White dog. Which one are you talking about? Which one are you talking about? You talking about
where can you place position?
Right. How can you place this? Well, number one, that soul, if it's a born again believer, is a soul of God. So it doesn't have a black dog. But your spirit and your flesh, Satan still has access to them. So if you feed that black dog on that flesh, you feed that black dog on your spirit realm, then they can actually direct your life. And like the Bible says, to whom you yield your members, his servants you are. You can be a born-again believer and still feed that black dog. You can. And as long as you're feeding that flesh and spirit and giving it everything it wants and doing whatever it wants, even if you're a born-again believer, God's going to correct you and he's going to whip you. But you won't look like a Christian. You won't look like a believer. You'll look like somebody that's feeding a black dog. So if you feed that white dog, which is that soul, that nature of God, and let it run your business, run the spirit, run things through the soul, through the spirit, and through the house, Satan has no access to the soul. So that soul will direct that house and that spirit in the right direction. So you can feed the black dog and do all the wrong things on the flesh and spirit, but you can't. There is no black dog on the soul if you're born again.
Amen.
So people,
you cannot put the black dog in the soul.
Mm-mm. The black dog that was in the soul, your new birth.
Amen.
Amen. Because the prophet said, "What's your feet?"
Whichever one you're feeding. But that's talking about whether you're giving to your flesh and spirit or you're giving to your soul. Because your soul doesn't have a black dog.
The prophet said, but as long as you are in this place, you are bothered.
You have issues in your flesh.
Yeah. The scripture says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body.
Yeah. Now, that is not literal. That's just spiritual types
of how Brother Branham was trying to show us that you could feed that inward man or you can feed that outward man, and whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to represent on in your flesh. It's what everybody's going to see. The Bible talks about the walls of partition being broken down between there. And up until the opening of the seals, they were in their own little areas. But Brother Branham heard Paul's group go in, and he asked us, well, who is that? And it's Paul's group. He said, if Paul's group make it, my group will. So now that the seals are open, the walls of partition are broken down, they're all there waiting on that time for them to come back to get us. So they're not. Well, they understand what we do. They're not looking at us, but they understand what's going on because the walls are down and the picture, the whole story of redemption is already told. It's done. His people.
His people.
Right.
But the other people.
Right. They weren't with him. But like I said, when he heard Paul's group go in, Brother Branham knew that his group was going to go in. So they may not be together like in one group, but they're still, the understanding is across. They all know what's going on now. Now that the walls have been broken down. But as they go in, they're still going to go in as their groups. You know, when I go in, I'll go in with my group. You'll go in with your group.
So that group is from the Church of Ephesians, or the group that Brother Branham met when he...
Well, when Brother Branham met, he didn't meet all of them. He just met his group.
His group. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He just met his group when he was over.
His group, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the other group was also in that place.
They were all there.
Okay.
Yeah. Of your loved ones.
Will they be claimed during white redemption or right now?
We'll take our loved ones with us, but there are some that will actually go into eternal life at the great white throne judgment. When we're talking about foolish virgin, they will move into eternal life there. Is that an answer? Is that... I might understand the question.
Is that our will? We want to be claimed then, our will?
Our will?
Yeah.
Well,
you want to claim both or?
Well, our will and God's will become one.
Yeah, that's why the brother asked.
Our
will to be our own will?
It's our will, but it's what we want. And just remember that he's gone to prepare a place for us. And he's going to have what we love there. And Brother Branham said that all that he loved and all that loved him will be there. Well, just like God placed somewhere, He places them somewhere. He's not going to send our loved ones to hell and then put them in heaven and then bring them back to a glorified body. See, God's not going to burn them, then free them, then glorify them. He's not going to. He'll hold them in a place just like He did. Remember when the Old Testament saints died? They didn't go to hell. God divided hell and put them in a place separate. There are some of my loved ones that are going with me in the rapture that I want to be with me. You say, is it my will? It's my will, but it's still God's will because you got to realize nobody's going with you that God didn't already preordain to be there. They're helping you do your job on this side. So God will reward you with them.
This is not my question.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The Bible says no one can enter in without the Spirit. I mean, if you don't want it,
Brother Childers made a statement once, and he said there'll be more people that get born again after they die than are ones getting born again here. Because there are a lot of people that are going there and they'll go into eternal life. And that's the born again experience. God will put them there because there are a lot of people that are going to go to the great white throne judgment and not know which way they're going to go, to the left or the right. And God's going to move them to the right and they'll go into eternal life. But remember, if they have eternal life, they have a seat in them anyway because they have to be a part of God to be eternal. Claiming the claiming is what?
The right to claim is just your reward.
Yes.
Because you are serving the Lord and your love was according to the Romans, when there is one person in that family when receive Christ, all of his loved ones. That's why I understand that claiming when you serve God. You can claim your loved ones because of your faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Your loved ones will be your reward. And Brother Branham claimed his family, and he claimed his horse, and he claimed his rocking chair.
Amen. Okay, now I would like to remind you that Brother Nate come here not to answer all our questions.
Amen. So, shall we all stand? Shall we all stand? And it's almost 12. And maybe we get our lunch this morning. So let us pray. Hope and pray to the Lord. Hope and pray that the Lord will give us more than we have heard. Amen. How the word evolve itself in our hearts. Amen. Praise God. Father, we are so grateful. Doug, his family too. And remember Sir Clarice now, Lord. She's alone in the house. Bless God as we receive it by faith, Lord. Now we're going to break, Lord God. Lord, pray that you would bless the food that you use this, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would bless them too, Father. Thank you so much for the fellowship. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for the presence, oh God. Thank you for the brothers, if for the ministry. Bless them, oh God. We thank you. We ask all this, Father God, we give back to you. Glory and honor in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.